Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The founders had a very realistic view of human nature. They operated on the assumption that men are easily corrupted by power. In fact, the adage ran like this: power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. Yes, very good, absolutely, and in other words, it is assumed, or it was assumed, that power corrupts the character of all men. And for that reason, it was thought necessary to divide power into three essential divisions: the power to legislate or make laws, the power to adjudicate disputes based upon the laws, and then the power to act as the people, or that is, on their behalf before the nation itself and before the world, or, in other words, the executive branch. Now, this was not a triumvirate. In the technical sense of that word, where three politicians jointly control or oversee some government agency or the government itself. These three branches are not persons, but positions. And those positions are filled by the people electing to office, or they are filled by having the elected officials appoint them. Furthermore, the three branches are separated with powers that serve to check the power of the other. Or in other words, the legislative branch cannot pass laws that violate the Constitution. The court is charged with the responsibility to watchdog that. The court cannot create laws, or not supposed to anyway. And I'm talking about the way the system was originally set up, and not the way it's operating right now. And that's where I'm going, so listen up. But the court is supposed to watchdog the constitutionality of the legislation. The legislatures have a procedure available to them to impeach jurists, you see. And then the executive has the power to veto laws that are put on his desk. That is the president's desk. But that power is not absolute either, for the legislature has a path to override the veto. So what you have is a system of checks and balances where, in the main, the ultimate power is vested in the people. The division of power into three branches is implied in Scripture, by the way. Oh, yeah, when the prophet declared, quote, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us," end quote. Yeah, it's in the Bible. How about that? From Israel's point of view, the Lord was ultimately the absolute judge, lawgiver, and king, that is, judicial, legislative, and executive. And any man who would presume to take these powers to himself would be considered arrogant to the extreme. The founders understood that all who serve as ministers of God in government, Romans 13, serve the ultimate judge, lawgiver, and king from whom that power is derived. In fact, in the government of Israel, the king or the executive was not allowed to perform the functions of the priest or the judiciary who applied the law in cases brought before them. And often the prophets rebuked the kings and the priests, but they could not presume any of the functions of either the king or the priesthood. Declaring the laws of God to the people. That was the ministry of the prophets. So in the Bible, by the way, or the law, was their constitution. Now, America's system of three branches separated by checks and balances took a form similar to this ancient example. Not identical, but similar in many respects. And that should not surprise us, since both governmental systems were premised upon the revealed Word of God. Now, for this reason, our leaders were expected to govern as God-fearing men whose conscience and conduct was instructed and judged by the Word of God. But my point here is that this system of checks and balances is constructed upon the biblical view of human nature. Now, Jesus said he did not commit himself to any man. He said he had no need for anybody to tell him what was in man because he knew what was in man. You'll find that in John 2, 24 and 25. He understood what was in man, and so he didn't commit himself to any man. Think about that. What is in man? Well, among the many things you can find in man, is that he's a creature that instinctively craves power. And this is rooted in another universal characteristic of man's nature, which is selfishness. Now, where's all this going? Hold on, brain massage, enlightenment explosion about to fall upon your mind. So we understand that America was built upon a certain way of looking at human nature. We certainly appreciated the whole aspirations and ideals of the soul of man derived from the image planted upon them from the Creator. But we also understand that these aspirations and ideals, because of sin, are easily corrupted by self-serving ambitions. Now, so there is a distrust of self-serving people in our culture. Our founders feared self-serving people getting their greedy hands on too much government power and using that political power to oppress others in service to their own personal interests. Now, this fear of the corrosiveness of power motivated them at every point of their discussions as they framed our constitutional republic. That was a big deal with them, you know. And it cannot be overstated, at the core of the American way of governance is a fear of the corrosive influence of power upon selfish men. That no man could be trusted with overmuch power because it was considered axiomatic that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, what I want to work into the gray matter with this brain massage is the understanding that this is directly connected with an innate distrust of selfish or self-serving people among Americans. It runs deep in our blood, as it were. And that's how it was when it came to politics. On the other hand, when it came to economics, the attitude was that each man was responsible to take care of his own. In fact, this was a very serious matter. Those who refused to care for their own were considered worse than infidels. Yeah. Worse than God-denying humanists. Okay. I know many God-denying humanists take care of their family. Don't try to go there with us. But this is just another modern expression for idol-worshipping heathen. I'll explain that some other time. That'll have to be a kerjom, another day. But this idea that men were to care for their own included care for themselves. Now, obviously, if one neglects one's own needs, well, that one would soon be incapable of fulfilling his or her responsibility to care for their charges or to take care of those for whom they are responsible. It was not considered selfish to take care of yourself and your own family. The saying went like this: charity begins at home. The idea of laying upon others the responsibility of care for oneself and for one's own was loathsome, hated, despised. Nothing could be more repugnant to a man than the idea that he could not provide for himself or for his own. Each was encouraged to pursue his own happiness and was applauded if he succeeded at accumulating wealth. Self-interest in this regard was considered a noble thing, a reflection of the imprint of the image of God upon him. Now, I'll deal with the concept of charity later on. In fact, I'm doing a series on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for the next 10 weeks or so on the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Poverty, Riches, and Charity. And of course, you're welcome to attend. Anyway, self-interest was encouraged in the area of economics and discouraged in the area of politics. And it has been proved, by the way, over and over that when a man is held accountable for taking care of his own needs and the needs of his own, he is a better man for it, and his family is better off. Self-interest in politics was feared and dreaded, and so power was dispersed by political instruments. But self-interest in economics was understood to be the only just way to provide care for oneself and one's own family. So the basic idea was that because human nature is what it is, we should distribute power and let each one centralize his own wealth, which in a free market society, allowing each one to centralize his own wealth, does the best job of keeping it dispersed and from accumulating to too much power. But something has changed. It's weird how we are moving from this basic understanding of human nature and adopting a perverted view that is destroying our country. Now we want to centralize political power and distribute everybody's economic wealth. Now think about that. It's reversed. Obama is the captain of the march of the Marxists in this country at present. Everything the president alleged has done up to now has, in one way or another, served to further the interests of centralizing more and more power to his hands, the hands of his cronies, and using that power to break the wealth of individuals and then distribute it as they please, which is nothing other than theft. You see, wealth in the hands of individuals is similar to individuals having the right to bear arms in many ways. It provides a shield of protection from government oppression. Governments cannot easily control or exercise power over citizens who have property rights and who are armed sufficiently to defend those rights. If you let selfish politicians use the power of government to take wealth away from one individual and give it to another of their choosing, oh, for heaven's sake, you have contributed to the breaking down of an important wall of protection for your liberty. Now, here's what you need to see. The fundamental ideas that shaped our government into the form our founders gave it have been abandoned. New ideas are in place of the old ones. These new ideas are slowly changing the form of our government. You understand? It's like a body getting too fat from what it feeds on changes its shape. Well, the shape of our government is changing because of what we've been feeding it, or feeding on, I should say. We have been fed Marxism for 70 years, little doses hidden here and there throughout our education system, infecting every part of our society. With clever little change agents adding a little more dose of this arsenic to our intellectual diet as we grow more and more tolerant of it, disseminated into society through our media and through our education system and everywhere, until finally we are beginning to see ourselves differently than we used to see ourselves. We are looking more like Europe, or worse, like some Latin American dictatorship. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample. And order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. If you've got a piece of Pastor's mind stuck in your throat, there's only one way to get it out. Call 888-770-8000 and give him as big a piece of your own mind as you can find. Call 888-770-8000 and don't worry, Pastor Scheidbach can take it. Call 888-770-8000 and leave your message during the break. Your brain massage will continue in just a moment.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Our Christmas Day service will be very special, and I want to invite all of you to attend. The music at Lighthouse is excellent. You'll enjoy our choir and congregational music, Christmas music, and the message will be stimulating, enlightening, and inspiring, I guarantee it. Greed 2.0, that made the cover of National Review, this edition. And the article there addresses, and some of the other articles in this also address, something that I've been talking about in our brain massage today. The fundamental facts of human nature are universal. Look, this means that the poor people have the same human nature as the rich people do. The greedy poor are as much of a problem in our culture as the greedy rich. Greed is not an exclusive purview of the rich. The focus of their greed is essentially the same, by the way. The greedy rich want to find ways and means by which they might procure more and more from the poor, and the greedy poor want to find ways and means by which they might procure more and more from the rich. The whole debate over rich and poor has become central to most of what we're talking about in our debate with our liberal progressive neighbors. In fact, I'm offering a series of messages on the topic Biblical Perspectives on Poverty, Riches, and Charity every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for about 10 weeks. You're welcome to join us. What is a biblical perspective on what it means to be rich, to be poor? What are our obligations regarding charity? Are these obligations collective or individual, coerced or free? Well, anyway, today, I'm going to need to review just a little bit. Our founders shaped our government from certain fundamental notions or ideas. And at the bottom of these is a specific view of human nature. Now, it happens that in that time, their view of human nature was shaped from the biblical perspective of man being created in the image and likeness of God, which affords to him certain ideals of goodness and justice and righteousness and so on. But at the same time, who fell in sin, and so in Adam and from Adam, have an innate sin nature that may be summarized as selfishness. Now, because they viewed, that is, our founders viewed man as corruptible and selfish, they understood that man is especially susceptible to the corrosive influence of power. Man's selfishness inclines him to desire to have power over others that he can use to serve his own interests. And for that reason, our founders wanted to decentralize power of politics so that no man or group of men could accumulate sufficient political power to oppress others. So, politically, this passion for power was to be distrusted and feared, and they formed the government in such a way to make it nearly impossible for greedy men to get enough power, very quickly anyway, to become a dictator. On the other hand, acting in self-interest was not considered a problem in the area of economics. It's the two sides of the coin of society, politics and economics. On this side of their model for society, they expected decent men to take responsibility for their own care and for the care of their own. Now, this self-interest was not regarded as tending to any peculiar evil because the individual was laboring to provide for himself and his own, leaving others to do the same for themselves and for their own. Charity comes up later, and I'll discuss it later. And we'll discuss home first because charity begins at home. Now, this drive of self-interest to improve oneself and one's lot in life through the accumulation of wealth has always been understood and accepted, even encouraged. So our founders understood that politically, self-interest had to be carefully controlled. Otherwise, individuals might use the power of government through political means to abuse others. Whereas economically, self-interest was encouraged as the only proper way and the only just way to provide for the care of individuals and their families. No man was respected who expected others to do his duty for himself and for others. These essential beliefs about human nature were the ideas that gave shape to our system of government and the order of our society. They provided for a system that distributes power and leaves individuals free to centralize their own wealth under private ownership. But these ideas have changed. Now we see a trend towards centralizing the power of government into the hands of fewer and fewer men, while at the same time a trend toward using that power of government to forcibly distribute the wealth of individuals to whomever the government decides ought to have it. So the form is shifting from decentralized government and personally centralized wealth to centralized government and personally decentralized wealth. This is a problem. It is the reverse of the biblical model, and it's coming upon us precisely because we have forsaken the God of our founders, by the way. And so we have adopted new ideas, and these new ideas are necessarily going to change the shape of our government because the form of government comes from the ideas that shape it. Now let's look at these fundamental ideas that are changing the shape or the form of government, or at least one or two of them if we have time. Now we're all against self-interest, right? We decry it, we denounce it when it comes to the accumulation of wealth. However, isn't it ironic that when it comes to something vain, like how a kid feels about himself, well then it's all about the vital importance of self-image or self-interest. Think about it. The vanity of self-love is a corruption of acting in self-interest. It's amazing, you know, our progressive friends are all invested in the importance that our kids feel good about themselves and yet fear and despise those who actually do something good for themselves, who actually do something worthy of praise and succeed in this life at some work that rewards them with wealth. Now, why are such people considered selfish? Why? Because they worked hard and accumulated wealth, and then someone else expects them to share that wealth with people who did not work hard, who did not invest the hours of labor in industry necessary to succeed? No, my friend, the selfish ones are those who imagine somebody else is supposed to take care of them. Vain self-interest is promoted among liberal progressive party, but the authentic self-interest of those motivated to take care of themselves and their own is virtually despised. Wake up! Or it will be greatly discouraged by laying upon them the burden to take care of those who didn't show any initiative. Vain self-interest is this nonsense about someone feeling good about themselves regardless of whether they have done good. But look, a biblical perspective of this is a quote, "A child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right," end quote. You know, but the liberals, the progressives, they promote a vain self-interest rather than a productive one. Now, this idea that a kid ought to be encouraged to feel good about himself no matter what he does or how well he works encourages the idea from the same kids that they should be rewarded in life upon the same basis. Think about this. He expects to receive the accolades, applause, and acceptance of society for doing nothing. And so he expects to receive the necessary means of life. And even beyond that, many if not all the luxuries of life. Indeed, he expects to be economically equal with those who have worked hard to earn theirs, even though these have not earned it. They've done nothing. Don't you see the connection? You tell a lazy kid who's careless and stubborn and frivolous that he is as worthy of praise and self-confidence as the industrious kid who demonstrates wisdom and diligence. Well, then why should not that same lazy, careless, frivolous kid expect to be rewarded with the physical and economic rewards enjoyed by everybody else? All right, I've got to work toward my wrap-up for this show. Hey! Have a great Christmas, and come on by and join us this Sunday. Also, if you want to get a clear understanding of the biblical perspectives on poverty, riches, and charity, join us each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We have nursery and a great children's program called Lighthouse Kids, by the way, that you'll just love. So come on by Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Look, our government received its form from the ideas that shaped it. If you change these ideas, you're necessarily going to change the form. The ideas that are controlling the development of our government right now are going to give it the form of Marxism, and that would be because those are the ideas controlling the thinking of most of our population today, it seems, or many, a sufficient number anyway, to have an impact that's going to change the form of our government if we don't stop this. Look, even if they don't call it Marxism, that's what they've been disseminating to our kids for years now in the schools. You know, a rose by any other name might not smell as sweet. I can't imagine a rose called Putrid Petals. It might impact the olfactory operations. But a rose by any other name is a rose nevertheless. And Marxism by any other name is Marxism nevertheless. Politicians acting in self-interest is a very dangerous thing. And so our founders provided checks and balances and distributed power over three branches and many different individuals, by the way, as the only way to secure political justice. But at the same time, they encourage self-interest in economics as the only way to ensure economic justice. If you reverse this, and you decry self-interest in economics and encourage it in politics by allowing individuals to trample upon the separation of powers, as we have been watching Obama and his ilk do, we centralize political power in the hands of a few who use it to distribute personal individual wealth to whoever they choose. And that is a formula for oppression. I hope you've enjoyed your brain massage today. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now it's your turn to call and let me know if you see that they are on. You call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you say, lights on, if you see that the lights are on. And you commit to ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially means you agree with what I'm saying and will spread the word about the Brain Massage Show. If you disagree with me, and maybe perhaps vehemently or only slightly, you can call and say, lights off. That's all right. That means you reject what I'm saying, disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today? Lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. You see the lights are on, or you say the lights are not on. All right? I lit the lights in the church belfry arch. Do you see them? Call and tell me you do. Say, lights on. If you don't see them, you don't see my way, you don't think my... Fine. Call and say, lights off. It's a free call, by the way. It's toll-free, 1-888-770-8000, or contact me by email. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. Click lights on, lights off, whatever, and then write me a message. If you're in a hurry, you can just click lights on, send it. If you want to give me a message or give me a piece of your mind to chew on, I've certainly thrown a piece out for you to gnaw on, huh? Well, you can do the same thing. Give me your thoughts. If you will, leave me a message. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me what you think, positive or negative. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh, come, let us worship.
Call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.